Doug Wright Show, where Utah news breaks on KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Well, I have to tell you, I'm reading some of the texts, and wow. Okay, this person said, Doug, you go ahead and wait for government to protect you. I'm keeping my guns. Okay, I own quite a few guns, too, and I have no intention of turning them over to the government, so I'm kind of going, what's your point? This person said, I think it's pretty ironic and hilarious when the president lectures us on the Bill of Rights and the Constitution. It's interesting because that's what he taught, was the Constitution. I have a friend who is a constitutional scholar and instructor, professor at BYU, and it's always interesting to hear his take. And there are differing views on the Constitution, certainly. And that's why John Jay and Alexander Hamilton and James Madison, who, by the way, had some fairly radical differences on government and later went on to have some fairly radical differences with each other, wrote the Federalist Papers arguing for the Constitution. But then again, history is an annoying thing. It really gets in the way. This person said, by the way, Doug, it's not fear, it's ADD, authority defiance disorder. This person said, well, let's see, I have to censor here. Some of these things would get me in trouble with the FCC. Let's see, this person said, I'm sick and tired of being called such. That just kind of is out of the blue. I'm not sure what that... Oh, wait, here we go. Doug Wright, why are you so biased with Democrats? Let's hear the opposing text on the Obama speech. Can we or are you that one-sided that you won't report anything but the president? Me and many others are going to talk to the program director. By the way, his name is Kevin LaRue, and I'm sure he would appreciate your phone call. I would gladly give you his number if this texter would care to call. So again, Kevin LaRue is the name of the program director, so you know exactly who to ask for. About getting someone that is more fair on the issues. Okay. It's interesting to read the texts that have been coming in, especially since we have carried the comments from President Obama a little earlier. And like I said, there are those, it doesn't matter, just as was the case with George Bush. With George Bush, he could have cured cancer, and he would have been criticized by many on the left. And just as is the case with President Obama, he could read the words of Jesus, and he would still be criticized by many people. He, too, could cure cancer, and he would be criticized. That's how polarized we are. One person said, Doug, sadly, it isn't that we've become a fearful people. It's because we've become a hateful people. Oh, I hope that's not true. Oh, I hope that's not true. I mentioned this when we were talking with Troy Williams from Equality Utah. There's so many things that we're learning now out of Orlando that are confusing to me, and we're not asking for a diagnosis. We're not asking for anything definitive, but I thought it would be most interesting to talk with someone who had some expertise in this field. And Lisa Diamond joins us right now, professor of psychology and gender studies at the University of Utah. Studies sexual identity development, has been in this field for over 20 years. And Professor, thank you for sharing your valuable time with us.
No problem.
We are now learning more about the killer. And like Director Comey, I'm trying to avoid using his name. But this person that apparently cost the lives of 49 people in this bar that catered to the LGBTQ community, now we are learning that he frequented that club often. And as I mentioned with Troy Williams, either he was doing some of the best reconnaissance I've seen since World War II, or something else is going on here. Not only did he frequent this club regularly over 3 years, but another club and or other clubs, and also apparently availed himself of an app that allows gay people to meet one another. Yeah. Is any of this resonating at some level with you, Professor?
Yeah, I mean, it just adds to the tragedy of the whole thing. And again, we don't know, it is certainly possible that he was stalking the gay community. It's also possible that he was struggling with his own sexuality, and we just don't know. However, we have known for some time in research on homophobia that individuals who are struggling with their own sexuality and who cannot reconcile same-sex sexuality with their sense of identity or their religious or ideological worldview often turn that hatred outward toward others. Mm-hmm. And so the phenomenon of someone being virulently homophobic because they are struggling with their own internalized homophobia is a well-known phenomenon. It's something that, you know, is well-known within the psychological community. And so if that is the case, if this was someone who was struggling with his own same-sex attraction, it would make sense in some ways that intense hatred can turn outside the self and be directed against others, which is just incredibly tragic.
We've actually seen this at very high levels. I think of Representative Mark Foley down in Florida, who was just a very stalwart voice, anti-gay, very, very hardcore on punitive types of things. And then we find out that he is soliciting and exchanging yeah. texts with former pages, male pages, who he was trying to develop relationships with. And we've seen it in other cases. Sometimes the strongest and the harshest voices that have been against the gay community, we have found exactly what you have indicated yeah. was true.
Yeah. It's a way that some folks deal with their own self-loathing just by turning that loathing outward to others.
Yeah.
And, you know, the effect is the same. The effect is damage done to human lives, to individual lives and to whole communities. And I think it just raises the stakes, I think, on all of us to not be complacent about the role of homophobia in our culture. I think to some degree, especially after the marriage decision, people were like, oh, wow, everything is solved. Everything is great, and things are not solved. Things are not great. It may be quite acceptable and comfortable to be an openly gay or lesbian person in some cities that have large and vibrant gay communities, but there are many parts of this country and internationally, where it's dangerous, it's physically yeah. dangerous and culturally dangerous. And I think that we're seeing the effects of that here.
I wonder if truly he was radicalizing because of things on the internet with even his father. We're learning some interesting things about his father, who some people, an expert on CBS News, said, boy, if some of these things are true, he's a little delusional. He actually believes he's the rightful leader of Afghanistan in absentia. And some of his anti-American rants on his cable television and things of that nature, even some of the things that he has said about homosexuals, you wonder what kind of pressures might have been put to bear. And boy, believe me, I'm making no excuses for this individual at all, and nobody is yeah. making any pronouncements. Nobody knows what's true, but imagine how difficult that situation would have been for this individual as he was growing up if he happened to have some homosexual yeah. tendencies.
Yeah. We do know that rejection from one's parents is one of the most damaging, pernicious things that can happen to a young person, you know, growing up and struggling with same-sex attraction. There's research by some of my colleagues, Caitlin Lyon and David Huebner, that found that parental rejection increases an LGBT youth's risk of suicide eightfold.
Wow.
Eightfold. And interestingly, the other thing that this study found was that some of the rejection doesn't need to be, you know, leave this house. It can be much more subtle. It can be disapproving things said about the gay community. It can be saying things like, you know, why do you have to dress that way? If you know, can't you just look like the other kids? that these messages of rejection, that there is something about you, my child, that is shameful and distasteful to me, is one of the most damaging things you can do to any child. And I think when it comes also along with this intense cultural and religious stigmatization, the effects can be devastating.
Mm-hmm. Professor, I so greatly appreciate your time, and I appreciate your insights. And we're all trying to work through this. We're all trying to understand, to whatever degree is even humanly possible, what unfolded down in Orlando. There are so many things that are coming out right now that are confusing and mixed messaging. But I certainly appreciate your insights. Greatly appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Professor Lisa Diamond with us, professor of psychology and gender studies at the University of Utah, and has studied sexual identity development for more than 20 years now. And again, I'm very grateful for her time here at KSL.